Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory celebrate the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
Greetings! Welcome to Voice of Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
And tonight we have a great show. We're continuing our exploration of cosmic Olympianism through the various groups that carry on the tradition today. Last week, we met the folks at the Unarius Academy of Science, and we introduced you to our Olympian Embassy, where we give out literature and introduce folks to portals whereby they too can explore cosmic Olympianism. And tonight we have a guest, Mr. Guillermo Briceno, who will take us further into this avenue of exploration. Greetings, Guillermo.
Greetings, Hercules. Greetings, Athena.
Greetings.
How are you?
How are you
my
guys
friend?
Doing? I'm doing very well. Thank you so much. How are you guys?
As are we. We're doing very well indeed.
Wonderful.
Now, Guillermo.
Yes.
Our journeys have been very similar in many, many ways.
That's true, yes.
And we have trod some of the same paths. Like I have taught and you are teaching at LaGuardia Community College.
Correct, yes.
And we both have had associations with trauma.
Yes, that's also correct.
And we've also both explored the Church of the Subgenius and other cosmic religions.
It's like we're following each other.
Yes, indeed. It was very fortunate that we met, and I was amazed at how many of the same places we had visited. Now,
yeah, so,
can you tell us a little bit about your individual journey into the cosmic spiritualities of our day?
All right, sure. I was raised in a Catholic family, Roman Catholic. I was born and raised in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. I never felt truly comfortable in traditional religious like venues. As I grew older, I tried to explore on my own independently. My first forte into new spirituality was through Buddhism, which I think is everyone's go-to first new religion in their lives. From there, I tried paganism, Wicca. I even fell into darker stuff into the occult. And for many years afterwards, I became an atheist. I was dating an atheist, and she was a profound influence on me during those times. But after we broke up, I wanted to go back to exploring esoteric topics because I found them interesting. When I returned to college in my mid-20s, I decided to take on philosophy as my major. I went to LaGuardia, got an associate in philosophy, and from there, I wanted to really get into more complex topics. The pagan ideals no longer appealed to me. Gods and goddesses were fun to read about, but I wanted something more complex. And I stumbled upon Guarnieri's Academy of Science and the works of Ernest and Ruth Norman and their concepts on fourth-dimensional energy, higher realms, etc. And that opened the door for me to other concepts like theosophy, you know, and stuff like that. And from there, I became more and more involved with Guarnieri's. No matter where else I went, I always came back to Guarnieri's as my my home base, so to speak.
What about Guarnieri's especially appealed to you?
Well, the first thing that really appealed to me is that Guarnieri's is not a religion. It's an open spirituality. It's very humanistic in nature. I consider it a realm of study rather than any kind of, you know, religious kind of organization. You can be Guarnierian and still explore. In fact, you know, Ernest Norman and Ruth Norman encouraged that, to read all the classics, all the histories of the world, and, you know, decipher them for yourself through their own methodologies. And that's what really appealed to me, that there was no dogmatic system, there was no kind of, you know, dogmatic cosmology to really, you know, adhere to, that you can explore these things independently and come up with your own truth and see where that takes you.
That's one of the things that I especially like about them as well. And even if you're someone who is not looking to explore on your own, the Guarnieri's material is there's enough of it to occupy you for more than one lifetime.
Oh, sure. I think right now there's approximately 127 books you can purchase, which
wow.
And they're still publishing books to this day.
Now, the Guarnieri's material is channeled, and one of the remarkable things that I found about some channeled literature, not all, is that if you're patient with it, it pays off in that given the fact that this comes through the mouths of people from their unconscious or from some other source, it is remarkably consistent internally. So that even if there's more than one channel, this voluminous information kind of connects and agrees with each other in remarkable ways.
Oh, most definitely. I remember when I first started reading the liturgies of Guarnieri's, not all of it, you know, grabbed hold of me. You know, I still the foundation book, if you want to call it that, is called The Infinite Concept of Cosmic Creation. It's a kind of lesson book. And it's a complete foundation for all Guarnieri's books. I took hold of that one pretty easily. I read it's like a 500-page book, I think. I read it in about 12 days. And I think I'm on my third or fourth time reading it through all the way through page by page. But as I branched out to read other books within Guarnieri's, like The Voice of Venus, for example, or Interdimensional Science, or Tesla Speaks, not everything took hold of me immediately, but as time went on, I found that more and more of these concepts made sense to me. I was connecting to them through my higher consciousness. I was understanding them in a deeper way and seeing how they relate to me in my life.
With me, the fascination, because there's so much to study and so little time to study it, that I find that as my journey progresses, and now I'm approaching my 60s, that my focus becomes more and more narrow, so that at the present time, the material that's ancient and mythic, where it intersects with what's modern and cosmic, that's my special area of study, and it gets more narrow each and every year. So for me, their Atlantis material, their Voice of Venus, their Voice of Eros, their Voice of Hermes, and some of their other material that deals with mythical matters is of special interest.
I mean, like you said, there's basically something for everyone, no matter where you are in your personal journey. For me, I find myself connecting more towards the idea of multiple dimensions. So I find myself reading philosophies on space and time and how that relates to energy. How does energy extract and detract and expand and change through motions? What a dimension actually is. And so that's how I find myself exploring Guarnieri's. But there's something for everyone there. If you want to look more into your past lives and where you might have come from, you'll definitely find that through the Atlantis books or the Lemuria books. If you want to study more about interdimensional science, we have plenty of material on that as well. But it all depends on your personal forte. You know, you can't force yourself to learn something you don't want to learn. You have to go with what interests you first. So there's no kind of push or shove with this material. It's, you know, what Uriel, Ruth Norman, one thing she told her students one time, and this is related to me, in regards to what book should you be reading, she would say something along the lines of, whatever book you want to read right now is the one you need. And that's something I tell my students on occasion. You know, where you are right now, you have set yourself up for, and this is exactly where you need to be. And so if you go into it with that kind of mindset, I think you'll find success in your studies or whatever you want to do with your life.
Though we're both impressed with Unarius, we also explore other similar cosmic groups. Like I'm very enamored with the Mark Gage material. And you have also been in touch with other groups and are exploring their philosophies. Do you care to share a little bit about those groups?
Oh, sure. Most recently I was hanging out with the folks over at Happy Science, or Kogaku no Kofuku, a Japanese, a New Age religion. They have a great deal of books. Their founder, I believe his name is Ryoho Okawa, if I pronounce that correctly, and they produce books, I think, on a weekly basis. There's a great deal of great philosophy. There's some philosophy within their books which I don't think everyone would find any appealing to them, but that's kind of the joy to this sort of research. You know, you go out and you explore, and instead of being offended or, you know, detracted by whatever you're trying to learn, explore the things that do connect with you, like I was saying earlier with the Unarius text. So that's one group I've connected with, and I have friends who are a part of that religion. I've known a few people of the Aetherius Society and
yes.
Their group, and there's also, Industrial Church of the New Age, of the New World Comforter. They're a group in California. And, pardon me?
You had sent me links to those, and I enjoyed that journey.
Oh, yeah, sure. And they have lots of free materials on their website, and they're fun to read. So in regards to all these groups, though, like, always consider yourself an ambassador for yourself. You know, when I go speak to other groups, I never say, you know, I'm here on behalf of the Unarius Academy of Science. You know, I'm a Unarius student first and foremost. I've made myself clear of that to all my friends. But I'm always going there at it myself. I'm not going to find rivals or make enemies. I'm going to find friends. You know, I'm more interested in what connects us all together than what makes us different. And that's part of the joy of being alive.
Very well said.
Well, thank you.
That's always struck me, too, that even in the most peaceful and open-minded philosophies, there are schisms. And in those schisms, lots of human drama interjects itself, and that people become hostile with each other over their interpretations of the material. And exploring things as an explorer, or as you called it, an ambassador, because then again, even though you might resonate very strongly with one particular way of looking at the universe, you're open to other ways of looking at the universe instead of saying this is it and everyone else is wrong and I'm right.
Right, right. Well, it's sort of like how I started talking about. I was I grew up Catholic. That doesn't mean I am opposed to going to a church with my mom and my family for a mass. It's the complete opposite. I find joy in that because they love it so much, and I enjoy, you know, their company, and I love them. So why would I not, you know, want to be with them during something so special to them? Just because it doesn't have the same kind of resonance with me does not make it any more or less in value to them. And I want to support everyone in their views in this kind of like cosmic trip we're going through and see, you know, where it all takes us. So long as we're moving forward, we're going the right way, regardless of the path we're taking.
Now, you started your own blog called 4D Perspectives. Care to tell us about that?
Sure. 4D Perspectives, or 4DP, was a kind of like a pet project of mine for a year or so before I actually launched it, I wanted to share my research and my thoughts through the Inarius perspective on various topics, including spirituality, social issues, and my views on certain like New Age books, etc., but also to promote things I enjoy. For example, I have links there for the Searle Effect Generator, for the Magnavex, which is a neat little device created by a friend of mine named Michael Leas. And I post videos, I post all kinds of material for anyone who's interested in Inarius material or anyone who wants to explore new pathways for themselves. This is by no means an official blog site for Inarius. It's something I'm doing independent for myself. They're aware that I'm doing this. You know, I keep them in the loop. But these are my personal thoughts and views as a Unarius student, and this is how I decided to share it all with, you know, the world.
Well, Unarius seems to really encourage creativity and creative expression. It's one of the things I found very, very great about them.
Oh, sure. Through creativity, we connect with our higher selves, that better part of our personalities, and we can bring in all kinds of great inspiration through our creative works. This is a conversation I had with a friend of mine in regards to, let's say, prayer or meditation. In Unarius, we call it attunement, and it's not one specific technique. It's anything that brings out the best in you. A quick example on my end, I'm no great poet at all. I'm actually terrible at it, but I was riding the subway here in New York City where I live, and it's during rush hour, and it's the worst time of the day to be on the train. And it's crowded, it's noisy, it smells bad, people are screaming, people are yelling. But I was able to find some sort of inner peace this one day on my way to work. And I just started scribbling poetry in my journal. And I've never done that. So even though I was in the worst of conditions on my way to work, I found a momentary bit of peace where I could express myself in a creative way. In the Inarius, we call that attunement, you know, where we reach a point where the outside world has no true negative effect on us, but we can still bring out and, you know, release a sort of positive wave of our own energies.
And in fact, on many of the videos that Unarius puts out, there are examples of students tapping into their creativity and doing things that they've never done before, like singing or sculpture or paintings. The Atlantis Center in El Cajon, California, in fact, sprang from the creativity of its students.
Yeah, like Ruth Norman was one of the first people, I believe, in her era, 1960s or 70s, I believe, to really talk about what's called psychodrama. Now, these days, psychodrama is a very common psychiatric or psychological kind of tool for healing, but she was one of the first to really use it in a way that implemented the Unarius science of, you know, past life therapy. And so she was able to, like, tell students, you know, or to help students, you know, bring out their creativity by, you know, putting together their own costumes, their own props. Students who had never held a camera before were making videos and movies. And so the end result was these students really became their own past lives. They created their own costumes. They became their actual garb that represented their past life selves. And through that, they were able to find ways to really heal themselves of their past life negations, which actually, coincidentally, I was reading something in Scientific America recently where soldiers with PTSD are using virtual reality to relive their negative actions in wartime so they could have better control over what's going on with their lives now. And that's not too far off from what Uriel was trying to do with the Unarius students, trying to go back into the past, reclaim their negative energy and to convert that into a positive energy, to find what was wrong and make it right again.
And one of the things I like about Uriel, and I said this last week to Tracy and Celeste, was that she was uniquely and unapologetically who she was. And for someone who's also eccentric and kind of different in how they express themselves, she's one of my heroes.
Well, I think Ruth, just looking at her and seeing how she inspired other people from an Olympian point of view, she's a modern day muse.
Most definitely so.
Definitely. When I first got into Unarius, I had no idea what to make of her. Because, you know, you look at Dr. Norman, who we call the moderator in Unarius. He was a very comfortable man. Like, he wore slacks and, you know, button-up shirts and sweaters and occasionally a suit for interviews or, you know, what have you. But then I saw Uriel, and she was all tiaras and feather boas and wands. And I had, what's going on here? Why so different? And I finally came to know Uriel as an artist. Beyond, you know, even though she was a great healer, even though she was a great teacher, even though she was great lots of things in her life, she was a great artist. And she knew how to really bring that out in other people. Because it's through the arts that we really learn to heal. I mean, there are lots of ways you can find a way to heal yourself. But the arts, and this is not exclusive to the arts, but the arts in themselves are a form of healing, because in art at its best is a form of joy. And when you create art, you create joy. And I think that's one of the miracles of Uriel, that she was able to bring it, that kind of energy, out of so many people. And a lot of them really needed the help at the time. And like a lot of great teachers, she's still helping people. She's helping me.
And this is taken for granted in the psychiatric field nowadays, because they use art therapy very common with children who are emotionally disturbed, with post-traumatic stress. I see dance therapy. I see painting therapy. I even see connecting with nature in some way. People swim with dolphins or whatever they can, or connect to the wild and then think of creative ways to deal with that as well. And it's common now, but back in Ruth's time, it was just about unheard of.
Oh, sure. Ruth Norman was alive during an era when I think there are still certain societal norms that where people are trying to break out of. You know, men still have to be tough and unemotional. Women haven't had a certain place in the role in the family. But I think it was during the 70s. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. But I think it was during the 70s when that really started to crumble, and people needed to find a way out and learn how to express themselves better.
Now, we're working together to bring the cosmic philosophies more to the East Coast. And I'm working on something with the Mark Age folks, the Motok Chronicles, Healing Under Hilarion, and we're having some teachings and activities along that end. You and I and Athena are working on Star Center Atlantis. Care to talk about that a bit?
Well, you know as much as I do on this, but in my experience so far with you and Athena, first off, it's been a blast. I love the both of you. Working with you guys is nothing but a joy. We are still building the foundations to what we really want, I feel, though. You know, we want to bring all this together into some sort of cosmic soup, and we want to make it delicious for everyone. So I think the creativity is all there. We are still bringing in people, so whomever wants to join us is welcome to join us. We like diversity. We actually love diversity. We love hearing new ideas. I'm bringing in the Unaria stuff. You guys are bringing in the Olympian and Mark Age stuff. And I want more of it. I want more diversity. I want this to be the melting pot of spiritual groups. I'm tired of these concepts that, you know, we have to be different buildings, different lodges, different charters, etc. It can be one big place where we always kind of hang out and, you know, like the philosophers of old, and spread our ideas and have a great time trying to make the world better.
Very well said. And in addition to the Unaria stuff and the Mark Age stuff, we also have the Urantia book stuff, and we have the Aetherius people stuff, and several other Omniconic. You know, we have a lot of these cosmic voices. And
also
the
traditional stuff.
All
like,
there.
We also have like traditional stuff. Like we have, I believe, a few pagans swung by, a few channelers swung by, tarot card readers, the whole lot. And that's great. Having diversity, having, you know, different ideas coming in, that'll always be great.
We did a show recently with folks from Starfleet, which is a fictive cosmic universe. But one that's inspired a lot of creativity, it's advanced science, and in its way, it's very spiritual. Roddenberry dreamed of a much better world than the one that we currently have, and gave us something to strive for. And part of our model, we call it the Pride of Olympus, is taking this voyage through these different spiritual universes. And it's a voyage of peace. It's a voyage of exploration. It's a voyage of making contact and making friends. So all of this together on whatever level you care to approach it, I think it's going to be very exciting. And I'm glad you're on board.
No, thank you for having me on board. I'm very happy and proud to be here with you.
Well, we're very proud and happy to have you with us, too, Guillermo. You're going to be at our Mythic Atlantis event, which is less than 2 weeks away already.
And, dude,
super exciting.
I looked all over for a squid hat for you.
What happened? What's that?
I said I looked all over for a squid hat for you. I couldn't find one.
You know what? I'll figure something out. I have plenty of hats for my giant noggin. I'll cobble something together. I'll make you proud. Don't worry.
We dubbed Guillermo the exalted leader of the Order of Cephalopods. So
I'm a what now?
You're the exalted leader of the Order of Cephalopods.
Well, sure. Well, thank you.
And we'll have to discover what that is together and weave that story. But for now, it's a cool title, I think.
Great. No, I'll take it. It's the best title I have so far in my life.
It's yours. And we're already running out of time. Guillermo, we're going to have you on again. So you're going to be a repeat guest because we've only just scratched the surface of your explorations and folks are just meeting you for the first time. But what I'd like you to share is what are your plans beyond Mythic Atlantis and how can folks get in contact with you?
My plans beyond Mythic Atlantis is very simple. I want to make more friends in this spiritual journey from any walks of life. I want to meet lots of people, chat with them, have a few drinks, have a good time, and just, you know, hang out and enjoy life. As for how to contact me, the best way to do that is through my blog, which is 4dperspective.blogspot.com. I believe I have a link there where you can email me or you can just leave a comment on any article that I have. Or you can just like check out the blog and just, you know, see what you like. I have all kinds of links there with videos and such.
I certainly enjoy visiting your blog, and I also enjoy visiting your Facebook page. That's kind of unique, too.
Oh, thank you. That one is unfortunately very, very private. I only friends and coworkers can see that, but I'm glad to hear you enjoy my Facebook.
Yes, Athena's the same way with her Facebook. She's very limited in who she interacts with.
Yeah.
Whereas with me, it's anybody who wants to, you know, go there is fine. If they become obnoxious, I'll, you know, kindly warn them and take them off if they don't heed. But everyone's welcome to come to the page.
Well, aren't you popular?
He is.
Well, Guillermo, thank you very much for joining us. I look forward to your coming on the Voice of Olympus again. I wish you joyous journeys and great success, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
I'll see you guys soon. Thank you very much.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
Now, soon we're going to go to song break, and Athena, what are we going to be listening to?
Well, we're going to be listening to Learn to Fly by Darv the Bard, one of my favorite artists in the pagan community. He has a great diversity of music, and he always sounds great. So again, that'll be Learning to Fly by Darv the Bard.
So now I summon our Oracle Engineer. Oh, Terry Power, take us to the musical break that we may listen to these songs and be made mirthful and enlightened.
Hurry before he starts singing.
As I look out of my window, I see the birds. Could be there so I could fly.
The Magic Jukebox Podcast presents Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through May 30th in Lafayette, Georgia. This event will feature the best in pagan music and over 100 vendors and workshops. Featuring Tuatha Dé, Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Wendy Rule, Digis Christ Superdrum, Dragon Ritual Drummers, and many more. Also featuring the official release of the Green Album. This eclectic compilation of thoughts and sounds will feature various acts performing at Caldera Fest, benefiting the Rainforest Trust. Come on out and have the time of your life. Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through 30th at Cherokee Farms in Lafayette, Georgia. For more information, visit calderafest.com today. See you there.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
We're back. For the second half of our show, we have someone from our past, Mysterious Mirror Living from Pennsylvania. Just as Guillermo Brissamino is a new person who's joined our adventure, Mirror Living has been part of our adventure for quite some time. So greetings, Mirror Living. How are you?
Greetings. How are you?
We're doing great. We miss the days when we could sit together on the chairs in the Barbarian Bazaar and have long cosmic conversations.
It was absolutely wonderful. I learned so much, and I've come to understand so much because of those conversations.
The same here. And one of the most amazing things about you is that you're always willing to try new things and find new ways to express yourself, either verbally or through writing or through music or through every single type of communication that had come out online. You were always there right at the forefront trying it and helping others tap into whatever it is you're doing. So that's pretty amazing.
It's really hard work. I tell you, it's a little scatterbrained of me here and there, but it's my passion. You know, I just want to help people, you know, utilize the tools that we're given that anyone can use. You know what I mean?
Now, I'm very happy that you're working with us on keeping the Oliphant mystery alive. Care to share with our folks what the Oliphant mystery is?
Well, the Oliphant mystery is basically a theory that John Peruca came up with. And, you know, not many people know that I believe he was a chemist. I thought he was a physicist for a long time, but when I talked to him recently, I swear he told me he was a chemist.
He was a chemist.
He was a chemist. That's what I thought. And he came across, I don't even know how he came across it, maybe visions, dreams, writings, I don't know. But he slowly started together this really odd occurrence happening in Oliphant, and that is that there's a lot of Egyptian influence as well as star or UFO connection, as well as Orion at the center of it as well. But there's a lot to it because, I mean, he even goes as far as he believes, you know, that the soul, if you will, let's say the source of light, because I believe he believes in God because he mentions the Bible repeatedly through his material, which he gave me a book, by the way, of his material. So, and I leafed through it, and it's still so hard to pick out what to share with you guys, you know. There's so much. But regardless, he believes that the soul, when out of resonance with the body, hence, that makes us die, pretty much. And so he is trying to bring to light this mystery of everything I mentioned, along with Houdini, as well as in the mix as well. So, I mean, you have quite a strange amount of information, and it is very impressive. And the more I research, the more I find that is just mind-blowing revelations, I guess, when I go into it. I mean, you know, you said it yourself, we met, you know, around Oliphant, or if you look at the Oliphant Borough on the map, where we met, Sugarman's, the flea market, I believe that's probably a part of Oliphant, even though people don't really know how far Oliphant was originally. So there you have me and you meeting, and along with, I met John Peruca at your stand.
Yes,
as well. You know,
we met
wanted
in the library. I was giving a talk. We have the Regional Folklore Society in Pennsylvania. Like here, we have the Center for the Study of Living Myth. And John was there, and we were talking, and he started telling me about the Oliphant mystery. And he said that Oliphant means the light of Olympus. And he said, Oli for Olympus and Phan for Phanis, or light. Now, I doubted that etymology was correct, But okay, you have my attention now. You know, the Light of Olympus, that's right up my alley. And then he started telling us about the churches and religious houses in Oliphant, and how if you look at them, they represent the constellation Orion. Now, Orion is an earlier, more lunar aspect of Hercules, so of course he had my attention even further. And we started exploring the Oliphant mystery, and we found that if you look at the Oliphant mystery at any one of the facts, they're easily dismissible. But the sheer number of things that tie into it synchronistically is very difficult to dismiss. And that the more you look into it, the more shades of meaning you found. And also, he speaks at some point of portals. And here we're investigating the Tenafly time portal. So a mystery I first became involved in as a teenager. So I was very interested in what he had to say about portals. And he talked about UFO activity relating to the portals. And he talked about Merkabas. And he talked about the fractal nature of reality, which we're discovering now. So we like John. And we interacted with them a lot. Of course, John is responsible for our becoming close friends, too. So the Oliphant mystery is something we've continued, as have you. We used to have web pages and web pages devoted to the Oliphant mystery on our old site. And I still have them archived. I plan on reintroducing them. And you've also published a website now. Care to tell us about it?
Well, the site I just published was a few days ago. I found a way to do a free website, and it's just basically going to have all of my projects, but it's also going to highlight all those people who I feel are really trying to bring a lot of information, trying to help the world spiritually, scientifically, whatever way, even humanitarian ways. I feel that with the site and with these people that I've met over the years as Nearer Living, I feel I have to, you know, do that for them, because I feel like a lot of us feel stuck. I heard Guillermo talking a little bit about, you know, I only got to hear a little bit of your show, but fantastic, by the way. I just want to let you know that from what I heard. So warm and comforting, just like it was in the stand. Athena, hello. I need to say hello to you.
That's okay.
I feel like what some of the stuff he was saying about, you know, forget all this, you know, these blocks that we have, and, you know, the spiritual meeting people and coming together, I think that's where we're at. You know, I think you doing the show, me speaking with you, and these people talking on your show, I think this is showing, you know, that this is really where we're at. We're ready to do something. So that's what I want to do with the website, along with showing my projects. One that I feel very strongly about, and I think you probably know by now, synchronicity, a big, big thing for me. And I really would love to see if I can do a synchronicity library of people coming on there, sharing their experiences, so people can see the legitimacy of these people around the world, of their stories. And I just think it'd be really neat to see if that happens. So that's one of the things that I really am passionate about. But you know me, I have so many things that I'm passionate about, and I'm trying to do them all at once, and it's very, very difficult.
You're a passionate person, though, and you're out there doing it. I mean, I've rarely met anybody as hardworking as you are in trying to connect with people and share all the wonderful things you're finding metaphysically.
Well, I really, really appreciate that. I'm humbled by that.
You're going to be a regular guest on the show, because you are a fellow sacred guardian of the Oliphant mystery. And there's four of us so far, but there will be more, because we're going to gather folks and really look at and try to understand John Peruca's strange and wonderful vision. I'd also like for you to revisit some of the topics that you just spoke of, especially synchronicity, because I, too, am a big fan of synchronicities and have them quite often.
It's led me to so much in my life that I can look back on and say, you know, okay, I definitely am on the path, and I definitely would never have experienced these things otherwise. And at the same time, sometimes it's, you know, mysterious with how they occur, and other times it's just absolutely miraculous. You know, it's a great experience and feeling to have and to be able to share that with people. I want more people to share this stuff with. You know, there's not enough out there who are like, yeah, I believe in this, and how does this work? And people are scared of it. You know, they're scared of it. And I say, no, I think it's very important for our purpose on this planet, in this realm, as we are spiritually and just humanity. I do. I think humanity-wise, it's very important for us to study synchronicity. So I'll be glad to come on and talk about secrets anytime, Hercules. You know it.
Well, greatly, I'm honored. And for those of you at home, Mirror Living is the person who turned me on to crystals. Not that my explorations have been very deep, but one of the ebooks I wrote was about my initial exploration with quartz. And it's called, I believe, Crystallos Olympian Ice, and it's available on Kindle. Thank you so very much for opening up that area of exploration. It's been very fruitful.
Crystals are amazing, but I'm glad I was able to do that for you, honestly.
You're one of the few people also I know that's into Merkabas. Care to tell people about Merkabas a little bit?
Merkabas is a complex subject. I don't even know everything about it, but I do know that Merkabas have to do with the flower of life, which I was thinking about when you're talking, and some of the diagrams that John Peruca has, you know, have a diagram very similar to flower of life, and it's before all the popularity and the studies of, like, spirit science and things of that nature. So I find that interesting. That's another thing I find interesting. I go back in his work, and I find things that we're talking about now, and he did kind of bring these things, you know, in his material up. He was noticing these things. So there's got to be some kind of validity to it. But Merkaba, that's a hard one to explain. How about you give a little start, and maybe I can add on a little bit, expand on it.
Sure. This is just a brief intro. We're going to do shows on Merkabas as we get into more cosmic mysteries. But Merkabas are like ancient UFOs in some ways, in that they're their most basic two intersecting triangles that, if looked at sideways, form a Star of David. But it's actually a meditative exercise that will take you to the seven heavens to visit the different orders of angel, and they'll even bring you to the throne of God. There was a vast corpus of knowledge called the Hekhalot literature in the early AD era, the late BC era, and then later on to the Middle Ages, that gives people this information. But it's pretty amazing. And one of the interesting things about it is that they speak of ascending as a descent, which is actually more accurate if you're meditating and doing meditative exercises. It doesn't feel like you're floating up. It feels like you're going deeper inside. So by following instructions and fiddling with it and spending years trying to decipher the many mysteries that we have preserved in a language in which they were not written or meant to be understood, that too is a very fruitful branch of exploration. And we'll be devoting some time to it and merging our knowledge.
Well, to add a little bit to that, not getting off the subject of elephant, but I will say that I had meditated with the Merkaba process and with crystals that were the Merkaba, which I bought at your place. One was a rose quartz. I miss it too. Oh my gosh, we need something like that. We do have something similar, but it's not as nice as that. But I have meditated with it. I have seen ancient knowledge. I've experienced, you know, visions and stuff. And, you know, me, I'm a down-to-earth person, so, you know, I always have to second-guess everything. I don't sit there and just say, oh, yeah, I went to these places. No, I have to really experience them a few times and know what they mean to me and why I'm experiencing them to really, you know, to really understand the experience, if that makes sense. So hopefully that will help listeners, you know, understand like, oh, this is just some guy talking. No, I'm a person like anyone else, and I don't take things right, you know, off the bat. I have to study it and digest it, and you know, from there. But I would like to bring up some stuff about Oliphant that I find fascinating, and I think you will find as well. I don't know if you remember me telling you, but I did some research on Oliphant, and I found a connection with the Vikings. Did I tell you about this?
Yes, you did tell me that. And unfortunately, we're running out of time for today's show, so how about we have you on again within a month, and we pick up with the Vikings and the Oliphant mystery. That sounds like an awesome thing to explore, and perhaps we can explore the Viking mysteries.
True. And also, there was one thing. A long time ago, when I was looking over John Peruca's material, even though he said he was a chemist, I realized a lot of his language is mathematical. And some of the things he was saying makes a lot of sense, even if you scratch the surface of quantum physics. So if you get even a basic quantum physics book, all of a sudden you understand a lot of what he's saying.
He's an amazing guy.
I always thought he was a physicist, you know, so that's where I must have made that mistake, you know.
He was actually a mad scientist. He's told me stories of almost knocking out the electricity in Oliphant and almost blowing up his basement lab. And so he was a mad scientist, and I like that about him.
I'm like Tesla.
I'm eccentric.
I love Tesla. Yeah, that's the wonder why he came into my life.
Well, before we sign off with you, how can folks learn more about Mirror Living and all the wonderful things he's doing?
Well, I have a website. Like I said, I just started on, it's called, it's mirrorliving.yola, Y-O-L-A, site.com. And I will, but you can always find me on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google+, Pinterest. I mean, I'm all over the place. So I mean, all you do is look up Mirror Living, and you'll find me somehow, some way, and you can contact me. You can message me. I will talk to you. I'm not some person that puts people off. I like to talk to people. It's really interesting to talk to people who are into this stuff.
Okay, well, thank you, Mirror Living. It's great working with you again. You won't be coming to Mythic Atlantis, but you'll be there in spirit. And after Mythic Atlantis, we'll be starting a lot of new activities. So I'm really happy and honored that you're on board.
Let me tell one more thing. I know you're going to go. But I do, with the Atlantis theme, I do feel that there's a possibility Atlantis was in the U.S., and I do feel that that may explain this whole Oliphant thing. I don't know yet, but I'm really feeling that that's a possibility with this. So maybe put that out there when you're at the Mythic Convention and get people's minds thinking, how would that be possible?
I actually gave a talk yesterday at the Disclosure Network New York, and the topic was Atlantis, and that did come up, that maybe Atlantis was not the United States reincarnated, but actually the United States at some more prehistoric time. So that's floating around there. And how about that's our third exploration of the Oliphant mystery. We can talk about Atlantis and Oliphant.
Synchronicity, Hercules. Love it.
There you go, Mirror Living. Joyous journeys and happy adventures. I look forward to speaking with you again.
Thank you for having me. God bless.
You too.
Bye.
Okay, that was Mirror Living, an old friend who's a part of our new adventure. And before we wrap up, we have what's new with us and what's new with CERN. So here's Athena.
Okay. What's next for us? Well, the biggest thing is the event, Mythic Atlantis, April 16th, 2016, at the Elks Lodge in Tenafly. Be there or be square. And this week's Countdown to Atlantis, for adults, the Farallon, New Jersey Community Education, on Wednesday evenings, the Mythic Tradition from 7 to 8 p.m., and Ancient Mysteries from 8:15 to 9:15 p.m. For the kids, the Paramus Community Education, Mondays, April 11th through May 16th, 2016, Mythic Adventure, the Time Wars. from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m.
And now for what's new at CERN.
Tomorrow, Terry and Robin continue their series on ritual components with a discussion of air and the East. And Thursday night, Kaliana, I'm not sure I'll pronounce this right, Gerard joins Terry and Robin under the Shady Tree to discuss Caldera Fest, music, and the upcoming projects. And next week on The Voice of Olympus, we are talking about building your own legend and meet the Sons of Aries. The 12th of April is Terry and Robin continuing their series on the Fool's Journey through the Major Arcana with a discussion of the Temperance card. Thursday, on April 14th, Sharon Knight will join Terry and Robin under the Shady Tree. She's also appearing at Caldera Fest at Memorial Day weekend. Robin and Terry will be attending Caldera Fest as well. Come down to Lafayette, join 30 bands, and meet Terry and Robin.
Wow, there's a lot happening at CERN. We are honored to be part of the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, and we strongly believe in the interfaith work that they're doing. In fact, we're involved with a lot of interfaith work ourselves. We're actually doing a lot of things. Athena, what other things are we doing?
Oh, wow. Well, for more information on us, you could visit our website, which is www.herclesinvictus.net. And for community and contact on Facebook, you can find Hercules Invictus, Mythic Atlantis, and the Voice of Olympus. And also available for Olympian workshops, mythic activities, epic special events, and appearances.
We're all over the place. I'm actually the official herald of new business in the town of Tenafly, New Jersey. And you can often see me wandering about in Tenafly and the immediate environs. We do a lot of portal stuff so that folks can easily access our work. Once a month, we do at the Kresge Library, the Center for the Study of Living Myth, and people come in and we introduce a topic. And usually this is a topic that folks are interested in, they've heard about, or they've had experiences, and they can't really share those experiences because a lot of the experiences that we explore are kind of like on the fringes. So for folks who've had synchronicities being brought up or who've had experiences of astral projection or lucid dreams or they've seen ghosts, this is a good place to come in and meet other people who've had those experiences and share those experiences so that you discover that you're not alone and that you're not crazy, but there are other people who pretty much have experienced reality in the same way. So that's something that we do. We also have a role-playing game for kids, which is occasionally held at the Tenafly Public Library. This ties into the Time Wars, which is the backstory for Mythic Atlantis. It's fictive, and we bring in lots of stuff from popular culture, from television shows and comic books and so forth. So we explore the mythology of Atlantis and outer space through this activity. When we can, we give out tons of books so that folks can learn more about the topics that we're discussing. That's something I've done since my early 20s, and it's a custom that's continued and will continue until we run out of books, which doesn't seem to be any day soon. Anything you'd like to tell the folks at home, honey, before we sign off?
Well, on a personal level, it looked like March and April were a particularly brutal month for a lot of our Facebook friends. We've had people that have suffered great losses in their family that have really dire straits with jobs and everything else. For me, today is actually the second anniversary of my mother's death. And we have illnesses in our family as well that we're dealing with currently. And just wanted to reach out and just give everyone sort of like a hug over the radio and say we're there for you. Our thoughts are with you. And we sympathize with you with this bad time going on in your lives.
I love you, honey. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again next week. And our Oracle Engineer says that time and space is an illusion. Thank you, O Oracle Engineer, for the wise words. I will take them with me for this entire week and contemplate them.
for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.